You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Friday, and only Sandy Williams can go from Frank Sinatra to Michael Jackson. Sandy, the music.
It's a big bracket. That's the Smooth Criminal by Michael Jackson.
So did your AI send you to that?
It turns out you can formulate music, and AI is pretty good at tying together some loose ends. Some of them are fairly disparate, like Michael Jackson, but I am amazed by AI. I've been using it an increasing amount, and the two amazing things about it: one, what it does, and two, how rapidly it does it. I mean, you know, it can do amazing things. It also uses an amazing amount of electricity, and it maybe replaces careful thought. So,
it certainly helps me when I'm writing a sentence to make sure that my grammar is right and that my verbiage is right, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's being increasingly used. I suspect that we'll all start to speak haltingly and maybe without articles or other nuances of grammar.
All right, let's go to the phone line, Sandy. We've got CJ. He's been waiting for a while. CJ, you say what?
Well, thank you for taking my call, Earl and Sandy. As I listen to folks like you, you always say that, Earl. I like saying that. You know what he's doing? He's driving a lot of these issues to the Supreme Court to get judicial decisions, not social and political decisions. We saw it with the Biden administration with student loan forgiveness, went three times to the Supreme Court. And this is what he's going to do. We saw the governor of Maine dispute that they're going to follow the executive order about keeping women sports for women. We saw it with the fact that anti-Semitic schools, that universities with presidents that don't enforce those issues will be threatened to not get funding.
Okay, so CJ, before you go any further, let me say this. I don't think, Sandy, anybody should be celebrating the way Donald Trump and others are forcing universities to go after people for free speech.
I don't either. But I don't understand CJ's point. So, CJ, what you're saying that it's a good thing that the president is testing the constitutional powers of the presidency, and that what you're applauding is the notion that we will have the Supreme Court frequently determining what the range of power is? Is that your point?
No, I love the fact that the liberal progressive socialists threaten the fact that these things are happening. So he's going to drive and force these representatives to vote on issues like they did.
I don't understand, because you're talking around in a circle now, because the executive orders get tested in court. They don't get tested by Congress. I just don't understand, because I think what's happening is we have a president who's driving us in the direction with these frequent tests of the edge of the constitutional envelope to a constitutional crisis. And sure, the president can issue executive orders, but whether those executive orders have the power of law is a matter of contest. You know, the some things the president does by executive order are clear cut, and he's empowered to do so. Many of them might not be.
You know, Sandy, when you refer to people as liberal, social, these titles and these names, it reminds me of Archie Bunker and Pinko. So, you know, I mean, if people refer to people by who they are, not liberal, social, I mean, come on, man, what is that?
Well, I'm concerned. I had a telephone call last night with a bunch of my college roommates and asked the question, Do you think that this assault on the institutions like Harvard and the Ivy League, the Stanford, the major coastal intellectual centers, are those attacks because of what it is they're doing, or are they attacks on them because they represent bastions of liberal socialism, as CJ would call them? And so therefore the funding should be withdrawn because these people speak liberally. And that's an assault on freedom of thought,
yes,
freedom of expression. There's no place for this in the United States. You know, we're starting to decide what kinds of thought processes, liberal or conservative, need to be talked about, considered in the context of universities and schools. Universities are supposed to be places of open discussion, open to talk about anything. And if anything, Harvard, you know, who's being accused of anti-Semitism, what they're guilty of is letting people talk freely on both sides of the political spectrum. And so, freedom of speech is a very vital freedom, and freedom of expression, and freedom to hold political viewpoints. And we should not have the tools of government deployed against us if we happen to disagree with the incumbent political ideology, whether we be liberals and there's a conservative in power, or CJ, day after tomorrow, when you're a conservative and there's a liberal in power.
Well, you know, Sandy, the pendulum, as you always say, swings both ways. CJ?
Well, the mere fact that you're okay with students that are foreign students that come over here and hold rallies.
They have a freedom to do that in America, CJ. Yes, they have a yes, they have a freedom to do that in America. It's always been the case.
You know what? Take their funding away from the school. God bless Donald Trump for doing it. Because that's not freedom of speech, Earl.
So what is it?
That's threatening people.
Who are they threatening?
Wait. Let's not conflate. If people threaten, if there is conduct constitutes assault, which constitutes physical threats, that isn't freedom of speech, and that's not permitted regardless. So, you know, I think what we should worry about is the question of whether free speech, not unlawful conduct, is being supported. And you know, free speech needs to be supported. Unlawful conduct, assault and what have you, isn't condoned by anyone.
You know, the president of the United States, Sandy, isn't the only person who has a right to free speech in our country. Is it safe to say that?
Well, yeah. And the point is that speech is free. And whether the speech is repugnant or not, because who's to judge what's repugnant? And you know, that's a very rapidly shifting sand that is dangerous to stand on. And so, you know, we need to have freedom of speech in every direction. And you know, the ACLU has supported the right of Nazis to march. I think that we need to be very protective of freedom of speech, and we should not be withdrawing funding or otherwise using the tools of government to try and regulate speech. And we need to allow foreigners in our country to exercise speech as well. We don't want to be traveling in London and be worried about what it is we say that we might be subject to arrest or deportation. That's not the way we hope the world order works.
All right, Tom from L.A., you're up, Tom. You say what?
right, I have some comments and a question. One, we, the people, ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. If Republicans are spewing it, you can bet that they're doing it. We are headed towards the Trump session. Money in politics and lobbyists in politics have ruined our country. There was only one toe tapper in a bathroom, and that was a Republican. I am a proud Franklin Delano Roosevelt Democrat. Now, for my question, when you listen to, I'll call it factual radio versus conservative radio, you know what you don't get on conservative radio? You don't get an apology if the host was wrong about something. You don't get a caller being called out. All they do is go lockstep with everyone. Anybody on civic media will call out Democrats as well as Republicans. Anybody on civic media will have an actual conversation that is longer than the different mottos that I said at the beginning of this call. But they say the same thing every single day. And that is the reason why I think they get some people that are in the middle to actually go along with Republicans, because Republican radio never, ever tells the truth about anything. All they do is a talking point, and then they get someone like a CJ to call up a factual radio station and give his talking point, and then it's all discombobulated from there. So I don't know what the answer is. I'd like to know, Sandy, from you, or even you, Earl, what is the answer to this? Because if their propaganda is never questioned, and I'm talking about at the time that it's said, what is it that we can do on the factual radio side that we can somehow, I don't know.
So Tom, let me first say, you said they're never questioned. I think that, you know, every time CJ and others on the other side of this say something that's not right, they are questioned. I don't know about anybody else, but they're questioned as CJ was today.
Well, I think, but I do think that what...
You said what?
I'm talking about on conservative radio. Questioned.
All right, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, I'll let you respond on the other side, 855-752-4842. Guys, hang on. We'll come right to you. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, the music.
Well, the music has been what the style of government of Don Corleone. And what does the Don demand but respect, right? I mean, Zelensky didn't give enough respect in that room, and so he got called on the carpet. You know, this is all part of the process. To demand overt actions of respect, to avoid any sort of criticism, and to use the tools of government against anyone who has the temerity to stand up. That's what we're watching, and that's a very dangerous prospect.
All right, let's go to Don from Milwaukee. Good morning to Don. You say what?
Special topic, because I know that's one of your pet peeves, stay on topic. and I want to stay in good standing with you.
No, man, go ahead. Go ahead. Talk about what you want to talk about. Go ahead.
I have a little question here. Why is it that ABC, NBC, CBS doesn't report a lot of the news that PBS reports? I heard something very discouraging last night on PBS. Now, you've often heard Trump say, we're not going to touch Social Security. Well, there was an interview. I don't know if you're familiar with a fellow named Martin O'Malley. I don't know if you know him or not.
No, but go ahead.
Is that okay? He was interviewed. As we speak, Trump's sugar daddy, Elon Musk, is busy at work. Social Security is going to cut 12% of their workforce. So that's going to equal about 7,000 people. Now, that's going to cause longer waits on the telephone, longer waits if you go to their office. In other words, he's touching it. And no matter what he says, he's lying to you, because the work is being done right now, and it's only reported on PBS. None of the other stations report this. He said right out, Martin O'Malley, whoever he is, I never heard of him, Social Security has never missed a payment in 80 years. When you cut the workforce 12%, this will be in jeopardy.
Okay, Don, we
so
got
anyhow,
you.
Anyhow, I just wanted to kind of fill you in on that. Trump is lying to you again.
Okay. Thank you very much for the call, Don. Appreciate it. Let's go to Robert from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Robert. You say what?
Good morning, guys. my question is, has there been any reporting in terms of how much Bitcoin, Trump, Musk, the people in the cabinet hold? I see Bitcoin as a Ponzi scheme. You know, it's a way for rich people to avoid taxes. It's used for countries like Russia, Iran, North Korea to avoid, sanctions for their terrible actions. It's used for to put hits out on people, for gun running, for human trafficking, for drug dealing. And I think a lot of the chaos they're creating, because when I went to school, you learned that markets like consistency and stability. I think a lot of the chaos that they're creating is to move us away from the dollar over to one of these other currencies.
Well, I think you brought up a very good point. There have been a number of articles in a number of the financial press recently about the cryptocurrency policies of this administration. In particular, one of the member of the administration who was the CEO of Cantor and Fitzgerald. Cantor and Fitzgerald actually holds and owns a very big operation totally dependent on cryptocurrencies. And the notion that they're going to set up a cryptocurrency reserve in the United States is designed to create a great deal of increased value for cryptocurrencies. Both Elon Musk and the Trump family are heavily invested in cryptocurrencies. Elon Musk in a currency called Doge, and the Trump family, several months before this inauguration, started a family cryptocurrency-based holding company. And cryptocurrency has a place, okay? And it could well be that at some point the dollar will become a form of cryptocurrency that allows electronic exchanges of dollars. But the cryptocurrencies like Bitcoins and the Strump coin and these others are Ponzi schemes. They're things that don't have any value other than if somebody wants to buy them. And Bitcoin in particular has value only for one reason, and that is that it permits totally secret movements of money. And so the to the extent that Bitcoin has been used as a currency, it's been used as a currency in the market of in the criminal market, the underworld essentially. And cryptocurrency is something which is far more complicated than people give it credit for being, and is basically a Ponzi that is being perpetrated, I think, with respect to national policy, so that there are people who will get a great deal of wealth, and one of those people is Donald Trump.
Robert.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for the call. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Hang on, we'll come right to you. It's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams, and you.
And it shows them pearly white. Just a jack
Mac the knife
has old Maggie, babe. And it keeps it out of sight. You know when that shark bites with his teeth, babe, scarlet billows start to spread.
Well, I guess I'll go home and watch film noir. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join me. I'm always watching film noir anyway. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. Sandy, your music selection.
Yeah, this is all about mob music. This sort of the configuration of our government right now is taking shape, much like as if Don Corleone is in charge. Sort of public whack-a-mole to keep us all in keep us all in place, kissing the ring. You know, Robert from West Dallas had an interesting point about Bitcoin and about cryptocurrency. Howard Lutnick, who is the Secretary of Commerce, came from Cantor and Fitzgerald, a very large financial institution in New York. He's an old friend of Donald Trump's, but he's been heavily involved with the cryptocurrency called Tether, to the point where it's made him a wealthy man. It's made Cantor and Fitzgerald a very profitable financial organization. And it's suggested that today there's a Bitcoin conference or a cryptocurrency conference ongoing, and that President Trump is going to announce a U.S. Cryptocurrency reserve, which will have the effect of substantially, put, at least in the near term, increasing the value of all cryptocurrencies. And people who are invested in cryptocurrencies, like Howard Lutnick, like Donald Trump, like a fair number of people, not Tom, Dick, and Mary. And we should understand that currently, cryptocurrency's primary use is in criminal activities, like the fentanyl trade that Donald Trump is so wired up about. So much the way the gun manufacturers have been accused of providing weapons to the criminal drug cartels, cryptocurrency, including Bitcoin, are the financial tool being used by these very same criminals. And, you know, we should watch and be concerned about public policies that are being adopted in a manner which may create immediate, immense wealth for people in government.
All right, let's go to Brendan. Good morning to you, Brendan. Thank you. You say what?
Yeah, I just wanted to make 3 points real quick. I had said a while ago that the ability to see inside the MAGA mind or understand it is a tough thing to do. But I think the simplest part we need to understand is the call just from CJ now, again, which was actually for one of his first decent calls. But it's the bigotry. It's the hatred. Because he doesn't have a problem with Trump selling $5 million citizenships to brown people that will come in from other countries because they have $5 million to shove in his pocket. But he has a problem with college students who bring revenue and money to our college institutions who may not be happy with the fact that they see memes of Palestine becoming a hotel beach resort. My other point is I challenge any MAGA caller to explain why Doge, who's going to save us all a ton of money and everybody thinks it's going to funnel down to us somehow, which is just a pipe dream, hasn't gone after the biggest department, which is the biggest wasteful department, and that's our military expenditure. He is staying so far away from that. Gee, I wonder why. Maybe because they pay him billions of dollars so that he can send rockets up, leave people in Fort Lauderdale and Miami International last night stranded as his second rocket in a row comes down in pieces over the ocean. How soon till one lands over a landmass? And I just hope there were no fishermen, commercial fishermen out there that suffered any harm from that. But, you know, I'll just stick with those two for now. So all of the folks that are on the conservative side, please explain to me why he's not going after the one department that hasn't passed an audit in years and has more wasteful spending than anything. It's so obviously, and the hypocrisy is just amazing.
Hey,
have
Brendan,
a great weekend, you guys.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Good morning to you, Jack. You say what?
Good morning. Well, I have my usual long tirade this morning. So I think that the one major problem that's allowed the MAGAs to basically take over our government has been the media. And I don't just mean Fox News, but the legitimate media. They've allowed the constant repetition of lies, and not just by Trump, but by virtually every so-called Republican. And they have been doing little real-time fact-checking. There's one thing that should have been done during his speech, and it wasn't done. This lying started in the 2015 campaign. It's continued for over a decade now. It's been flooding the media with statement after statement, misleading, misdirecting. It's used every other method they can possibly use to keep the independent voter from understanding the real issues. And the real issues, one of them at least, is, I would argue, the manipulation of the economy by the rich and huge corporations. That's the thing that's kept people, that people say, yeah, it's the economy, stupid. Of course it's the economy, but it's kept people off balance. It's lying. You remember the alternative fact statement? And some people think this is a real.
I don't know. We lost you, Jack. So call back. Sandy, I don't know if you got much of what he was talking about, but okay, we got a problem with the phones. Let me go here, Sandy. One of the things that I really kind of wanted to touch on, and that's this. War heroes and military first are among 26,000 images flagged for removal in Pentagon's DEI. And this is in today's Associated Press. References to World War II Medal of Honor recipients, the NOLA Gray aircraft that dropped an atomic bomb on Japan and the first women to pass Marine infantry training. What did they do, Sandy, that they have to be erased from history?
Well, that's this kind of revisionist notion that we need to have the American dream reinstated. And one of the ways we do that is to erase everything that is inconsistent with the ideology associated with the dream that's being painted. And, apparently now DEI, which means different things to different people. But apparently to Peter Hegseth and to the new regime at the Pentagon, it means, I guess, anything associated with people that are either brown or black
or women
or are in any fashion out of line with what they want to paint as the Aryan hero of the American Army. And it's very troublesome. I think that this unwillingness to embrace reality and to create and paint a reality which is different than the truth, but one which is consistent with an ideology is fascism. That is exactly what the definition would be.
So they're doing away with tens of thousands of photos and online posts marked for deletion as the Defense Department works to purge diversity, equity, and inclusion content, according to database obtained by the Associated Press. The database, which was confirmed by U.S. officials and published by AP, includes more than 26,000 images that have been flagged for removal across every military branch, but the eventual total could be in the hundreds of thousands. One official who spoke on condition of anonymity to provide details that have not been made public said the purge could delete over 100,000 images or posts in total when considering social media pages and other websites that are also being called for DEI content. So anything with photos of blacks and women, Pete Hegseth, this is Donald Trump's executive order to wipe that out of the military history. Sandy, as a person of color, and knowing a little bit, you know, the Enola Gray was certainly named after a black woman. And the fact of the matter that it dropped this bomb on Hiroshima, and somehow, who does that hurt? Why do they have to wipe that out, Sandy? Why would the president of the United States make that such an issue that's got to be wiped out? He can't find anything more important? Or is it because he's a racist?
Well, I think that this is the baby, the bathwater. You know, these directives go out. They're not preconceived. They're ill-conceived. They're reflective of a viewpoint that is very narrow. This notion of trying to repaint the history of the United States to make it what people want it to be rather than what it was, is very troublesome, and it's going to get us to a very bad place, and it's going to try and create a false reality. Right now, we have the false reality that's being created, which is that America is in an emergency. We have a catastrophe on our hands, and we need to take strong action to avert disaster. When this catastrophe is totally bogus, you know, it's been artificially painted, artificially created for the very purpose of now justifying these kinds of broad actions. And it's what we talked about early on the show. You know, the fact is that, as the Wall Street Journal mentioned, I think the president needs to be reined in by the courts with respect to this capacity to define disaster and to define emergencies where they don't exist in order to justify conduct.
Several photos of an Army Corps of Engineers dredging a project in California were marked for deletion because they're all black guys doing it, apparently because a local engineer in the photo had the last name Gay, and a photo of Army Corps biologists was on the list, seemingly because it mentioned they were recording data about fish, including their weight, size, hatchery, and gender. In addition, some photos of the Tuskegee Airmen, the nation's first black military pilots who served in a segregated World War II unit, were listed to be removed from the database. Sandy, you know, it is more than frustrating that they can't that they're focusing on things like this. Sandy, the economy and what's happening there and all the other things that should be where they're focusing on this nonsense.
Well, in the military, they ought to be focusing on waste and expenditures and the huge budget. And this is all deflection. This is the way we have had our attention deflected from real and important things. And they're spending time and energy and in the military doing things which are a total waste of time.
Yeah, and not to mention just unacceptable to wipe out the history of Black and Hispanic people who fought, bled, and died in this nation alongside other military people. And to just wipe that out is more than insulting. 855-752-4842. Jack, we'll come to you right away. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. It means Friday is my co-host, Sandy Williams.
Back in town. Not to hear about Louis Miller. He disappeared, babe, after drawing out all his hard-earned cash. And now Maggie spins just like a shell. Could it be our boy's done something rash? And Lucy Brown, oh, the line forms
are... You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Text us that same number. Let's go right back to the phone lines and Jack from Merrimack. Jack, welcome back, sir. You say what?
Thanks for picking me up again.
Yes.
Yeah,
go
I just want to finish up with some quotes from Hannah Arendt, who is a German-American historian who studied the Nazis extensively, and you probably know the name. And here are the quotes. This constant lying is not aimed at making people believe the lie, but to ensure no one believes anything anymore. A people who can no longer distinguish between truth and lies cannot distinguish between right and wrong, and such a people, derived of the power to think and judge, is without knowing and willing it completely subjected to the rule of the lies. With such a people, you can do whatever you want. And here's the key phrase. This, the ideal subject of totalitarian rules, not the convinced Nazi or dedicated communist, and I would add, or dedicated MAGA, but people for whom the distinction between fact and fiction, true and false, no longer exists. And of course, if you can't tell truth from fiction, how can you tell whom to vote for? So you vote for the loudest, most recent voice. And that's what we got in the White House today.
You know, Jack, thank you very much for that. You are absolutely 100% correct. And that's where people are who still support Trump and those things. Let's go to Kathleen. Good morning to you, Kathleen. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Hi. Yes, I am just appalled by what you said the AP is reporting now about all the Black and brown people and probably the American Indians and
yes.
the women.
Everybody who fought.
I send an email to the White House every day about my dissatisfaction. I am just, I am outraged. Every single day, but just like the other caller said, it's a diversion and, and hopefully it's not deleted forever. It's just maybe for the 4 years, and then whoever gets in next will bring it all back.
Well, I hope you're right, Kathleen, but thank you very much for the outrage. Let's go to John quickly. John, you say what? John? Okay. So, Sandy, you know, we've had, you know, a conversation about where we are with these things. They're not going away, are they?
Well, my fear is that when you change the architecture of power in the government, whoever succeeds President Trump, whether it be a Republican or a Democrat, will be urged by their party to use all of the tools at hand. And so what Donald Trump is busily doing, and what project the people behind him, Russell Vought, the authors of Project 2025 are doing, are changing the architecture of the U.S. government, trying to shift power dramatically in the direction of giving more power to the president. Once you do that, then the people who inhabit that office are urged by all of those who back them to use all of the tools at hand. And so when a liberal president gets elected to succeed a conservative president, all of the tools will be utilized by the liberal president in maybe the same manner that the conservative president used it to get their way. And this is how you swing from democracy to autocracy. You swing from the exercise of power in an orderly fashion, in an orderly process, to the exercise of power by individuals when they get elected. And this is what we've watched in South America. We've called them banana republics for a long time, swinging from very conservative governments to very liberal governments, swinging from fascism to communism. I mean, this is instability, and this is a revision to our government that is contrary to what the founders had in mind, because the founders were far smarter than the architects of 2025.
You know, Sandy, you talked about the way it was in South America, and look at, they're still destabilized.
Yeah.
And it, through those swings that you're talking about, you're saying that could happen to us.
Absolutely. I mean, what's happening in Argentina, what happens in Venezuela, what happens in Brazil with these swings from one side to the other are the result of governments which are not structured to enhance stability over the long term. And, you know, this thing that was called the deep state that is under assault and under the leadership of conservative thought people like Neil Gorsuch, destroying the deep state, destroying the methods in which our government implements its laws through regulatory agencies is going to destroy long-term stability. That has been the flywheel of the stability that allows business people to understand what it is that they might be experiencing in the economy 5 years from now, 10 years from now. It's what's allowed everybody to plan for a future that might look something like the present. And what we have right now is a future that we don't know what it's going to look like. And the stock market is going to penalize those who hold stock as the result of this instability. And business leaders are not going to be making investments while they sit on their hands and try and figure out what the hell's going on.
Yeah, and so, Sandy, in all of those things, three things you just mentioned in the last 30 seconds, all have profound impact on the average everyday citizen.
Absolutely. The traction is local. The traction is on Tom, Dick, and Mary. When we have pain, the people who experience it are Tom, Dick, and Mary. It's not Elon Musk. It's not Howard Lutnick. It's not the people who are calling the shots. It's the people who will feel the pain.
You know, Sandy, the last thing I'd say is, you know, it's not a harbinger of a good thought for generations that are on the horizon and children. It's a sad commentary for them.
Yeah, in particular, this short string on the pendulum is the most dangerous prospect, and it's what turns us from a stable government into the banana republic.
All right, Sandy, thank you as always. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. Up next, Jane Matinier, Greg Bach Matinier on that. Guys, enjoy a great weekend. See you on Monday.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.